with SDPB News. I'm Crystal Mija. A state representative disagrees with a pipeline spokesperson over carbon capture, sequestration, and eminent domain. The contention comes as the PUC considers whether to approve the company's application. SDPB's Evan Walton reports.
The Dakota Bank Event Center in Brookings was filled with landowners and lawmaker advocates anxious to hear the debate between Representative John Hansen and Navigator CO2's Vice President of Government and Public Affairs, Elizabeth Burns Thompson. Hansen is a critic of carbon capture pipelines and sequestration. He says there are other ways to deal with carbon.
Well, sure, absolutely. In fact, I think there's been companies that have come into the state and talked to landowners about production of, I believe it's methanol is what it's called. You can capture the CO2 off of ethanol plants and make methanol. And so there's plenty of alternatives. There's also on-site sequestration options and things of that nature. But the reality is those aren't being funded by the 45Q tax credit. And so that's why those things aren't happening.
Hansen also questioned Navigator's investors, noting 84% of the company is owned by BlackRock.
It's a multinational investment company based out of New York City. Our own congressman recently put out a statement very concerned about the national security risks that BlackRock is engaged in by investing in blacklisted Chinese companies. Another 14% of Navigator CO2 is owned by a fund out of the United Arab Emirates.
Burns Thompson did not comment on Hansen's outline of Navigator's ownership. She did, however, defend the value of carbon capture and sequestration.
Today, we are opening up the opportunity to further crack that kernel and monetize the last remaining piece of that kernel of corn, right? Because we're turning it into alcohol, we're turning it into dried distiller's grains, we have the corn oil, and what's left? That CO2. This type of infrastructure is what is going to ensure that we are now, and I say we, as an ethanol industry, as rural America, as agriculture broadly, are truly able to monetize every piece of that corn kernel. But that's going to take marketplaces, and it's going to take infrastructure.
Another pipeline company, Summit Carbon Solutions, declined a debate. I'm SDPB's Evan Walton.
The Pennington County State's Attorney says she's close to deciding on how to proceed in the homicide case of A.C. Morrison. Morrison is a native transgender woman who died a year ago this week. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Morrison was shot in the home of a man she met through a dating app. Her family has now waited over a year to hear whether the state will bring charges against the man. The person on the other end of the gun is claiming self-defense. Pennington County State's Attorney Laura Rotzel says the investigation indicates first-degree manslaughter, but on the other hand, there's a strong self-defense claim, which state lawmakers recently bolstered. Rotzel says she's balancing those competing interests.
The state is presented with options, which include presenting the case to an investigatory grand jury, presenting both sides of the evidence for a grand jury to consider, which I think is a very good choice and may be the way that we go in this case, present both all of the strong evidence in favor of a first-degree manslaughter charge while also fairly presenting the affirmative defense of self-defense.
The state legislature updated its self-defense laws during the 2021 and 2022 sessions. The family of Morrison has been critical of how long it's taken for the new prosecutor to decide. Rotzel says a state's attorney's office does not sit on a homicide case for a year lightly and says she's going to meet with the family.
Ultimately, the decision needs to be made and A.C. Morrison's family needs to be consulted and considered in making that decision. So I'm committed to meeting with them as soon as possible so that they can speak on her behalf and we can make that decision together as to the best way to proceed in the case.
Rotzel says she's giving herself a deadline of September 18th to decide on how to proceed with the homicide case. I'm SDPB's Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
The South Dakota Medical Marijuana Card Program has nearly doubled in number of cardholders since it began 2 years ago. Despite the increased income the state received from card sales, some lawmakers worry the program is not monitored closely enough. SDPB's Evan Walton reports.
The Medical Marijuana Oversight Committee met to solidify their board and discuss rules governing the state's program. Senator Aaron Tobin was unanimously voted chair of the committee, with Representative Roger DeGroot nominated as vice chair. The committee heard presentations by state agencies, medical marijuana industry representatives, and the public. Jennifer Seal is the Medical Cannabis Program Administrator. She says participation in the program has surpassed what the state expected.
The original projections were that by year three, we would be at 6,000 patient cards being issued in the state. We are at the end of July, July 1st, it was 11,437. We're even higher than that now. We're probably closer to 12. So we have doubled the amount that we were projecting to see in 3 years within a year and a half, 2 years.
The increased interest across the state to obtain medical marijuana cards has some lawmakers weary. Representative Fred Deutsch voiced his concern to the commission. He says pop-up clinics skirt the rule on patient and practitioner relationships, and he wants to see it changed.
I've heard that pop-up clinics employ doctors from other states. They help them get their South Dakota license, and they fly them up here. I mean, it must be fairly lucrative work. This would change how we look at the definition of the bona fide practitioner-patient relationship.
Next legislative session, lawmakers will likely look to the committee for their expertise on any medical marijuana-related bill. I'm SDPB's Evan Walton.
There's a new option to help businesses in several rural counties compete with their peers in bigger cities. The South Dakota Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration is launching an updated map for its historically underutilized business zone or hub zone program. Companies in these areas can apply for hub zone certification. This allows them to apply for federal government contracts set aside specifically for the program. The SBA says it's part of an effort to drive growth in rural communities. The new map includes seven more counties, including Brookings, Clark, and Lyman counties. That's in addition to the 18 counties already in the program. Governor Kristi Noem's office says another round of funding for rural high-speed broadband projects is available. The Governor's Office of Economic Development will award $27 million as part of the state's Connect SD program. Telecommunications companies can apply for the grants to pay for projects connecting rural underserved areas. This is the eighth and final round of funding for the program. Noem's office says Connect SD has invested nearly $270 million into rural broadband since 2019. Asphalt surfacing construction on I-90 begins Thursday. The construction zone begins 3 miles west of Wasta and ends east of Wall near exit 112. Crews will reduce traffic down to one lane and reduce speed limits when workers are in the area. The project is scheduled to end Monday, September 25th. Asphalt surfacing work has begun on Highway 44, starting at the east end of Creston Bridge. The construction zone ends about a half mile east of Scenic at the intersection of Highway 44 and Butte Street. Drivers can expect one lane of traffic with flaggers and pilot cars guiding them around the construction zone. The Department of Transportation says traffic could be delayed up to 15 minutes during daylight hours. Restrictions are scheduled to be in place until Friday, September 15th. With SDPB News, I'm Crystal Mija. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on all our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.